the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris back on the PowerCast, we have a great guest this week. And I was thinking, Chris, before we discuss our guest, whether we should set up some kind of virtual green room for guests to hang out, kind of like they do in the Tonight Show, except that it's a physical room.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Of course, we can't serve drinks or other substances.
Well, we could serve pretend drinks, you know, virtual drinks.
Okay. I see the germination of a fascinating concept. I guess the question would be is how you would do that within the confines of Skype.
I don't know. I don't know what the capabilities are for Skype. I just love to change their ringtone. It really is the most dorky sounding doorbell kind of thing.
I have other words.
You call me, it's like bing, 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 bing.
I think anybody who's used Skype knows what we're talking about. And Skype has become a mainstay. It's not just for hackers. It's not just for power users. Everybody who wants to have some kind of direct PC or PC to smartphone or tablet connection, they use Skype. Radio and TV stations use Skype. Radio and TV networks use Skype. I mean, it's nothing unusual to hear, for example, well, we have our correspondent in Ukraine from a Skype connection. And sometimes it's limited motion video, but sometimes it's pretty good.
TV shows are actually using Skype connections for some of their main commentators and experts, like Bill Burns on Unexplained Alien Files, I think, kind of Skypes in his interviews.
You have to watch the term phone in, though.
Right.
As a double-edged sword. You know, on our other radio show, The Tech Night Out Live, we were discussing the pros and cons of e-books versus physical books. And in this interview, it's with a guy named John Martellaro, who is with a publication called The Mac Observer. Obviously, we know what they cover. And his feeling was that e-books are best for the kind of books that you regard as disposable. You know, like in the old days, you buy a paperback book, you read it on the subway or on the bus, and then you toss it. So with an e-book, it's a tossable book. But a book you want to preserve, a book like Stalking the Herd, which is over 560 pages of amazing research. You don't want an e-book. You want to buy the full printed book, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's kind of hefty. I just got back from the post office after sending my first case of books out to people that have been patiently waiting, some for months, to get their copies. And I finally did get the book in from the publisher. And I'll tell you, this thing is it's almost 2 pounds, which for a book is a lot for a paperback. So, you know, our good friend Red Pill Junkie down in Mexico, it cost me more to send the book to him than the book is actually worth. It cost $21 to send it to Mexico.
Now, sending it here, you could use what they call media rate.
Right, which I did.
Which is $3.65, ladies and gentlemen. It can take a week or two for the book to get right to the customer, but you have to be reasonable about it. You know, if you want to send Chris an extra 30, 40 bucks and say, okay, send it overnight, he'll consider it, but not for a standard order. Otherwise, he's going to be enriching the post office because the post office has that multi-billion dollar deficit.
Yeah.
And we're not going to pay off that deficit with copies of Stalking the Herd. But it gets back to the concept of the e-book versus the physical book. The other question we have, and we have some listeners getting on in years, and don't talk about me here, and that is, what happens to your digital library if you're gone? Do you have to will it? It's not like a physical book where you just take the book and put it in a carton and take it. What do you do with a digital library? Can someone else, a member of your family or a friend to whom you bequeathed your estate or whatever, can they get access? What if they don't have the username and password? Will Amazon or Apple give it to them?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I never really thought about that.
The key here is that with an e-book, you're not buying the book. It's like software. You're buying the license to copy that book onto your PC, Mac, smartphone, tablet. you don't physically own a book. I mean, when you buy a book, a physical book from Barnes & Noble or any bookstore, it's your book. Do with it as you wish. Throw it out. Rip it up. Read it. Preserve it. Wrap it in plastic. Doesn't matter.
Right.
With an e-book, what do you do if the person who bought the e-book isn't around? Doesn't it carry a value?
That's a good question. I really don't know the answer.
Fascinating. And maybe an interesting argument why, if you want to preserve something, you want to be able to refer to it 10 years from now, get a physical book. The other argument is, well, if the technology changes. Now, I'll give you an example of that. Back in the 1990s, there was a device called the Rocket eBook. And somehow I think Bill Burns is involved in that. Because for a while he released an e-book, a Rocket e-book version of one of my science fiction novels, Attack of the Rockoids. And don't get me started on that. But the point being here is that if you bought a book with that reader, what's it worth today? And are you locked into this now long discontinued device to continue to read that book?
Technology has a habit of becoming obsolete. And, it's like iTunes. All these people that are buying songs, on iTunes. I had a huge library of music on my iTunes, and then my computer crashed, and I lost it all.
Now, the way it works now is there are ways to put all that stuff in the cloud if you don't have a backup.
Right.
And in theory, if you bought a track from iTunes using your Apple ID account, you can download it again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, you're not locked out.
Well, that's really good to know.
They should have a record of everything you bought. You should be able to retrieve it. And now Apple has a feature called iCloud, and it's not just Apple. Google has Google Play. So you're not locked into anything, but you have to consider here that you want to deal with a company that's going to be around. We know Apple's going to be around. We know that Google's going to be around. We are sure that Amazon's going to be around. So if you get involved in an ecosystem, you want to make sure these companies are around. So all that expensive stuff you bought, the books, the apps, the music, it's still there. Of course, music, you copy the file anywhere. They don't have what they call digital rights management anymore. With books, they do unless they're in an industry standard format. So it's not so easy with books. They still carry that digital rights management albatross. It's the same thing with movies. Movies are not freely copied except to devices that you own that have licensed use of it.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true with ebooks, except for formats that are generic. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. But with MP3 music files, originally Apple and other companies had DRM. Now they don't. So in theory, of course, you can't freely make copies from other people's collections because of licenses and everything and copyrights, but at least you can copy the files off to something. Anyway, let's forget about the ebook versus the physical book, except to say Stalking the Herd is available for order. It's shipped. Copies are pouring into Chris's deep basement there in this palatial estate in Arizona. No palatial estate. We've got a great guest, real fun guy, who's going to join us today for his second appearance on the PowerCast, Dr. Joseph Farrell.
Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to it. Joseph is always just a mind blower when it comes to research and information about some of the lesser known topics within the so-called paranormal and kind of exotic technology world. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's always fun having him.
And some of his recent books are talking about transhumanism,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't fall trippingly from the tongue. Transhumanism. A lot to talk about. Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
For a second visit on the Paracast, we have Dr. Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. Joseph, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Gene.
We were having a little bit of fun earlier because when we talked to Joseph just before the show, kind of doing an air check, he had his camera on his computer. So we could see him sitting there in his office with huge library. And you'll notice I never have my camera on. If the light ever came on my computer, I would block it with tape. I don't want people to see me. I don't want to destroy the mystery. You know, like radio is the theater of the mind. And with me, it would be this theater of nightmares. You see, with Chris, it's okay, because Chris has an image. He can put on the Indiana Jones hat, and sometimes he's got the beard going. He has an image, a public image. I prefer to stay anonymous behind my voice, for better or worse.
You have a voice that's great on radio.
That's right. And you look at the mystery of disc jockeys. Over the years, we think of disc jockeys and talk show hosts, and we seldom pictured what they looked like, because that loses the mystery. Except like George Norrie's got this mustache that's 12 miles long. I understand they're using it as a roadblock.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, tope down in Mexico.
Joseph, before we get on to serious stuff.
Sure.
Your website, GizaDeathStar.com. Uh-huh. How'd you come up with that name? I was just thinking about it as we got started.
Oh, it's actually based on the first two books I wrote.
Right.
When I started doing all this, whatever you want to call it, research, alternative history, I don't know what you call it. But the first three books that I wrote were called the Giza Death Star Trilogy, about the Great Pyramid and so on. So that's basically how that website name came up. It probably should be different, but I'm stuck with it now. So
that's right. And we think of all the money that GoDaddy's earning from you.
That's right.
So there we go. Let's go into a number of the topics that you've explored, but we also have a huge number of questions from our listeners. When we warn them of your impending arrival, the question bank opened. And it's an interesting thing to call it question bank, where we have questions, because some of the things you've studied have related to bankers.
Right.
And their curious and premature deaths.
Right.
Okay, now, some people may not think too much about bankers and feel that maybe it's poetic justice, but we don't want anybody to face an early death for anything. So what is going on here?
We've been seeing lots of these guys jumping off buildings, off bridges.
Were they about to be caught by the SEC or something?
No, you know, I've actually decided I was going to do my weekly news and views partially on this topic. I think there's a lot of things in play here. As you guys probably know, I believe that after World War II, in the year 1947, to be precise, President Truman created, in effect, what was a hidden system of finance. And when I say that, I'm talking about something, folks, that's very, very different from the so-called black budget. I'm talking about something that is so off the books that it's not even subject to the normal black budget compartmentalization. And what he did was he was informed about the Japanese Operation Golden Lily by an envoy of General MacArthur, who just happens to turn out to be Ed Lansdale. Okay, so there's a name for you for the JFK assassination research crowd.
For those who aren't sure, tell us who he was.
Well, Ed Lansdale later became one of these Pentagon CIA generals. He was big in the covert operations wing of the Pentagon and the CIA. There are many people that believe, including the late Colonel Fletcher Prouty, that believe he was actually in Dallas during the assassination. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But Ed Lansdale was a big World War II and post-World War II covert operations guru, all right? And Lansdale was the one who oversaw the torture of General Yamashita's driver, a Japanese major. I forget what his name was. He was, therefore, in a position, one of the first people in the American intelligence apparatus that was in the position to know about the extent of the Japanese looting of Asia, and particularly of China. And, of course, General Yamashita had hidden a bunch of this Japanese plunder throughout the Philippine Islands. They're still looking for some of this stuff and digging it up. That's how vast it was. And Lansdale discovered some of these sites and then flew to Tokyo to debrief General MacArthur. And then General MacArthur told him, well, keep this top secret for now. Fly to Washington, brief for President Truman. So Lansdale goes to Washington and informs President Truman about all of this Axis loot. Now, we have to understand the other side of this story is the German looting of Europe. And it's my belief that the Nazis and the American, Anglo-American financial apparatus began to set up the Bilderberg meeting precisely in order to coordinate after the post-war period how to move all this Axis loot, how to launder it and use it as a hidden reserve to vastly expand the post-war credit supply. Well, Lansdale goes to Truman on the Japanese side of this equation and debriefs Truman. And Truman, in a cabinet meeting, decides in 1947, and this is circa the time that he's setting up the national security apparatus, you know, with the National Security Act and so on, of 1947. He decides to take all of this finance and keep it absolutely off the books. It becomes a top secret mechanism of hidden finance. Now, this is a long way around Harvey's barn. Just to say what I think really happened here is that he set up the intelligence community in the banking business. All right. That's key. Because what it means is you cannot move this vast amount of loot without at some point the collusion of prime banks, big banks like Barclays, JP Morgan, Citibank, and so on and so forth. Because of that, this also means that you will have an intelligence apparatus penetration of the banking industry. Now, let's update it to today. I think that it's fairly clear now that what really is at stake with the NSA electronic eavesdropping, I think this is something that is less about international terrorism and more the ultimate insider trading mechanism. And the reason why is that so much international clearing is done electronically today that this gives the NSA the ability to monitor massive movements of capital on the international scene and predict with some accuracy what market responses are going to be. That's a handy tool to have when you're dealing with a vast amount of hidden loot and plunder, and especially a lot of gold bullion that was kept off the books. And once we say that, we've got a big problem.
I'll tell you what, we'll solve that problem or maybe pose new ones in just a moment. Dr. Joseph Farrell is with us, and we're going to talk about banker deaths, international bankers, conspiracies, Nazis, UFOs, transhumanism, and more, as much as we get time for. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're painting a picture here with Dr. Joseph Farrell about an international financial conspiracy. Joseph, before we get on with this,
Sure. Let
me ask you, we talk about digital currency trading. What about one of these new currency systems like Bitcoin, which has come in from some pretty nasty press lately because of the failure of certain organizations that do trading? What about Bitcoin?
And not only that, but now recently more suicides of people that were involved with Bitcoin.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
28-year-olds, we're talking 60, 70-year-old types. These are young people.
Right. Well, I'll be honest with you guys and say that I really never investigated Bitcoin. Something in my gut just told me to stay away from the whole thing. I suspect, again, that this is related to the national security structure. And the finances, the suicides that we've been seeing here, I'm of two minds thus far, guys, as to what I think might be going on. First of all, there's a lot of toxic paper in the form of derivatives that were, you know, credit default swaps and so on and so forth, that were created on the basis of a mathematician by the name of Dr. David Lee from China, who came up with the formula. It's called a Gaussian copula formula, kind of a statistical formula, allowed banks to rate the credit worthiness of some of these derivatives. That's in effect what he did. And thus the formula enabled the creation of the vast derivatives markets in the late 1990s and early 2000s that we saw. So I suspect that when the mortgage bubble collapsed, these derivatives became very toxic. So there's a lot of toxic paper that they're trying to clean up. Essentially what we're looking at is kind of a mafia style operation. That's suspicion number one. Suspicion number two is that, and this is where I part company with many people out there that are kind of trying to create a scenario or an interpretation of this whole thing, in that I don't believe that the central banks and bankers themselves are the central principal players anymore. And the reason why, again, is this hidden system of finance that was set up and basically turned over to the American intelligence apparatus. I think what you're looking at, perhaps, could be a case of the intelligence agencies are cleaning up leaks. Most of these suicides, you should note, have been of people involved in the computer end of international banking. And they may have discovered or inadvertently stumbled onto some of this intelligence agency penetration of banking algorithms and trades and so on and so forth. So we could be looking at that. I do think this hidden system of finance is under a great deal of pressure. There's been people that have written me that said, Dr. Farrell, you're describing a financial system that won't work. Well, ultimately, I know it won't work, folks. I'm just telling you what they did. I'm not trying to make financial sense of it.
Well, with derivatives, I could barely explain it. It was a financial scheme used during this bubble.
Right.
Everything went downhill, went to pot, whatever. At the end of 2008, bringing on this worldwide recession or near depression. I think one of the issues here is that the people who were responsible for all this mumbo jumbo, this financial chicanery, they weren't brought to justice. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars being taken out of the financial system. And I just wonder here, if we're going to look at conspiracies, and because there's so much to cover, we're not going to spend much more time on this. Was the whole thing a cover-up to hide what was really going on behind the scenes?
Oh, yes, absolutely, I think so. When you're talking about this system of finance, Gene, I think what you're talking about is something so huge that inevitably it raises the question, well, what was all of this money used for? And in my opinion, going back to President Truman's decision here, I think there were several factors operating to create this system. It's based basically on rehypothecated gold and the creation of a vast amount of leverage in the financial system that is totally off the books, all right? And what's all this for? Well, the first thing is the Cold War context. This became a political slush fund that basically enabled the covert operations apparatus after World War II and on into the early 1960s to stage coups and use this money to force elections to come out the way they wanted. The famous case of 1948 and the Italian elections there, that was funded largely with this covert operations money. The second thing is we're dealing with a system of finance that's so huge that covert operations alone cannot possibly account for all the money in the system. So, as you say, it's trillions of dollars, and trillions of dollars over a long period of time from the end of World War II down till today. So the second thing I think we're dealing with is we're looking at the funding mechanism for a long-term mega Manhattan project. And the project, in effect, to create or research the technologies to emulate the performance of UFOs. In effect, what we're looking at is a vast system of finance that lies behind the suppression of certain technologies publicly and the development of them privately. That's what I think is going on.
All right. Now, the question anyone's going to ask here is, all right, we're now taking a leap. We're taking
right.
a leap from looting the financial system,
right,
which is very believable, to emulating the technology of UFOs, which leaps in two different ways. One assumes what UFOs are and what they can do, and certainly
right.
we have covered UFOs very heavily on the Paracast for years. There's a genuine mystery with no solution. So the
right.
Manhattan Project, I understand it if we can actually get a hold of an actual UFO to emulate, not just looking at it, but having a craft from somewhere that we could look at and reverse engineer. So is that it, that we have a captured UFO that
well,
we want to reverse engineer?
I don't think you actually have to have a craft to begin the process of reverse engineering. And here's why. If you, let's assume for a moment that you don't have such craft in your possession. And I'm not saying that we do or we don't. I'm just saying that the mere reportage of UFOs and some of their capabilities, particularly those sightings that concern themselves with our nuclear and thermonuclear tests, with our nuclear weapons facilities and launch capabilities and so on, there's been literally hundreds of UFO sightings and reports where they had interfered with. And in fact, in Covert Wars and Breakaway Civilizations, I talked about a number of these reports where they will go to ICBM bases, both in the United States and the Soviet Union, and either begin launch sequences, as happened in the Soviet Union, or they will shut down the ICBMs in the United States and reprogram the targeting information in ICBMs remotely. In other words, there's no physical connection established between the UFO and the missiles themselves, and yet somehow they're able to do this. Well, if you're in the national security establishment, you're looking at all of the performance capabilities, including some of these things, and you've got to begin to wonder, all right, why the concern with nuclear weapons, and why are they showing action that could be potentially hostile? This alone, I think, Gene, will start you on the process of trying to emulate the capabilities.
Let me just break in here because we have sure. to do our commercial interruption. As our listeners know, on several occasions, we've also featured Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and he also covers
yes.
this ground.
Yes.
He's done incredible, amazing research about this.
Oh, absolutely. Let me echo that endorsement.
Robert Hastings has also been one of our better guests. And these are some of the most compelling and maybe frightening sightings, because you wonder, if they could take control of nuclear installations, what are they doing next? I know what we're doing next. We're talking to Dr. Joseph Farrell about a variety of subjects with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
I'm the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We start with banker suicides, a secret Manhattan project, perhaps to recreate a UFO or a flying saucer. Now, Joseph Farrell, this project would be irrespective of what they really are. It's simply looking at what they do and trying to do the same thing?
In a certain sense, yes. And you mentioned earlier, this requires several assumptions about the UFO. And I definitely think that the evidence is there that the National Security Establishment would have considered some UFO phenomena to be actual nuts and bolts technology being used by whomever, all right? And certainly I present evidence in my various books that they would have considered advanced independent human projects, particularly the Nazis, as being responsible for some of it, but certainly not all of it. But I also think, and I touched upon this briefly in Covert Wars and Clash of Civilizations, that they would also entertain alternative hypotheses about other UFO phenomena that don't appear to be quite so nuts and bolts in nature, and that they would have attempted to go back and study ancient texts and so on and so forth. I think this is ultimately where the ancient astronauts' idea is coming out of, because I think that would have been a hypothesis entertained and pursued by the National Security Establishment in its quest to understand and, to a certain extent, reverse engineer the UFO phenomena. So I'm certainly not trying to restrict it simply to the idea of nuts and bolts, but I do think that all the evidence is there. If you look at some of the projects they're involved with after World War II, trying to emulate flying saucers, trying to create anti-gravity, and peculiar statements of people involved in the Black Projects world in the 1990s, I'm thinking of Ben Rich in particular, I do think it's very clear that something happened in the National Security Establishment very early on to cause them concern over the UFO issue. It's really a very simple step. Once you understand that this was of concern to them, particularly UFO activity around nuclear sites, then the response on their part is going to be exactly the same as it was during World War II, when they were made aware that the Germans, you know, could be very close to getting an atomic bomb and are probably working on it. Well, the same situation is going to repeat itself, only this time they realize that in order to create a secret project that is going to be able, eventually, they hope, to produce some sort of technology that achieves some sort of limited parity with UFO phenomena, that it's going to be a long-term commitment, and it's going to require massive, huge financing. So I think this is the background that we have to bear in mind to this hidden system of finance and what may be in play with all of these suspicious banker debts.
All about UFOs. Is there any indication here, and obviously proof has got to be hard or impossible to come by, any indication that after all these years they've made a lick of progress in emulating what they perceive UFOs to be?
Oh yeah, I think there's lots of evidence that something very fishy is going on. Back in the 1950s, Nick Cook is the first one that I think that pointed this out in his book, The Hunt for Zero Point, that circa the mid-1950s, talk of anti-gravity research in the open literature virtually disappeared, and it virtually disappeared almost all at once. And for a long time, you heard nothing about it. You heard little indications in the Soviet Union. There was, of course, Dr. Nikolai Kozarev in the Soviet Union, who, as it turns out, you know, he was denounced by Pravda for some of his strange ideas about torsion physics and so on and so forth. And that was their way of ridiculing the man's ideas while they shuffled him into black projects research. And after the collapse of the Soviet Union, it turns out this guy was heavily involved in some very classified research for the Soviet Union, right up until his death, as a matter of fact. In this country, we have the peculiar statements of people like Ben Rich for Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, you know, statements to the effect that we now have the technology to take ET home, and we found an error in the equations, and now we can take ET home, and on he went toward the end of his life. More interestingly, even more recently, we have the NASA scientist, Dr. Harold Sonny White, who has come out and found that there is another error in the equations of the physicist Miguel Alcibiar, the Mexican physicist who first published the equations for warp drive, believe it or not.
Make it so, number one,
back in 1994 I think the American Journal of Physics, if I'm not mistaken, but he did publish this paper. Well, the interesting thing about his paper, when you read it, is that what he's talking about would have required the mass energy conversion of the planet Jupiter in order to make it work. But Sonny White came along and said, no. If you configure the geometry of things a certain way, you don't need near that amount of energy. In other words, what he is saying is that it's within practical human reach. And even more recently than that, DARPA has come out, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or as I like to call it, the Diabolically Apocalyptic Research Projects Agency, has come out and said they want the United States, they've set a goal for the United States to be warp capable within 100 years. Now,
in the Star Trek universe, though,
it
actually happens in the mid-21st century.
Right. So, you know, all of this is very peculiar. And I'm one of those, Gene, that tends to think that when people start talking publicly about things like this, usually it means in the black projects world,
it's been operational for 20 years.
Yeah, they have some sort of prototypical operational capability.
Now, I wanted to raise something there, and I'm going to ask you about this segment of the next. Okay, we start talking about something, and maybe there's some guilty knowledge out there of something behind the scenes that confirms it or relates to it. So over the last few years, we have discovered more and more so-called type M or Goldilocks planets in our near space, like, you know, a couple hundred light years, which is not near, but it's near in terms of galactic proportions. And this indicates the possible presence of huge numbers of planets that have intelligent life. Maybe as we know it.
Right.
And if you assume there are other civilizations, some are not quite as advanced as we are, assuming we are advanced, which may be debatable. Others are more advanced than we are and therefore have the capability of coming here. Why not? Why not visit your galactic neighbors? Sure. And we kind of still talk about Earth-based UFOs and other stuff, but is that just part of the normal rush of scientific knowledge? Or is there a purpose behind making us accept life elsewhere?
Oh, I definitely, I get your drift. I definitely think, Gene, that they are in a mode of controlled release of information to sort of prepare us for all of these ideas. I'll tell you, let me go back for a moment, if I may, to kind of buttress this hidden system of finance idea from yet another perspective. the thing that put me onto this was the bearer bonds scandals that began to break in 2009. And in 2009, we had the story of the Japanese men that were caught at Porto di Chiasso in Italy on their way into Switzerland.
Oh, right.
And the Italian Guardia di Finanza basically arrested these gentlemen and discovered a false bottom in their briefcase that was full of bearer bonds, all right, to the amount of $134.5 billion. Yeah, billion. And that's a drop in the bucket compared to other bearer bond scandals that happened after that, where the amounts were in the trillions of dollars.
You know, if we just had a few of those.
Yeah, sure.
You and I and Chris, we never would have to worry about money again. We wouldn't have to concern ourselves with whether Bitcoin is an alternative. We'd just retire, but I don't think I could retire. Okay, keep going.
Well, some of these bearer bonds were in the denomination of $1 billion, the so-called Kennedy bearer bonds. You can go online and find pictures of this thing. And they're self-evidently fake. But the problem is they're peculiar fakes. Because on the back of these bonds, which were stamped with the seal of a firm called Money World, and Money World is a huge Asian clearinghouse for securities, all right? And then you had the Vatican weigh in through their Asian news service saying that some of these bonds were so good that they were indistinguishable from the real thing.
That gets even more frightening, but if we don't do the break now, we'll be even more frightened by what's to come. Dr. Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.